from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It feels like things are beginning to shine a little more on the Bay Area. And speaking of, we got our own getting enshrined tomorrow in Patrick Willis. And look,
bad boy.
I mean, throughout the show, the 49ers, to me, are still top of mind. There's a couple of things to clean up, perhaps, on the Warriors front. The Giants are in Cincinnati getting ready to take on the Reds. There was something from Team USA that kind of bothered me. They're playing tomorrow, but I do want to get into that. Also, you got a gripe coming up at 1:30.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, we got some stuff to get off our chest. But the first place, I think just kind of, I don't know, expecting greatness is not, it becomes commonplace in the Bay Area, Goo. But it's something that doesn't happen everywhere. And someone like Patrick Willis is an individual and an athlete that has just always embodied greatness. I mean, it's kind of stuffed into a small bottle because he was retired by the age of 30. But 5 All-Pros, 7 Pro Bowls in, 8, 9 NFL seasons. The guy was ultimately dominant and a part of one of the most dominant defenses that we've seen walk, well, at least at the time, on Candlestick Field.
No doubt. And I'll throw it to you. Ask me what I did last night, E.
What'd you do?
I watched the 2014 NFC Championship game. Again, one of the greatest football games ever to me. And it was with Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, Richard Sherman, Niners, Seahawks. And it just let me just marvel at how great Patrick Willis was. And I'm gonna be real early. Evan, I kind of forget. We tend to forget because the Niners, you know, since 19 have been dominant. They got a new defense, but Patrick Willis was a bad boy. I'm happy for him. But Evan, the crazy takeaway was that team, as great and dominant as they were, and Kaepernick was in his back, Aldon Smith, you know, before the trouble, that defense was so great, they didn't get it done either. They got close, and it kind of just is eerie when you look at this cast of characters in regard to this Niner defense and how great they are. Evan, the bottom line is Willis and the Cowboy couldn't get it done. They got close under Harbaugh. And I'm thinking, what defensive unit is better, that one or the one under Bosa? And it's a great conversation. There's no losers. But watching Patrick Willis roam the field like a Fred Warner, or better than the Fred Warner, I don't even want to pit them together, is special, and I can't wait for his enshrinement. And I'm sure we'll see tears, or not even tears, Evan, just emotion.
Yeah, and it's a reminder of once was. And I kind of want to use Patrick Willis to get into this idea of, I think a lot of people were understandably connected to those teams. I mean, they were full of life. Harbaugh was somebody that just injects and exudes confidence. And every team that he has ran, including the one that he currently is under, is a team that I feel like you have to have belief in. And I think there's a reason why Jim Harbaugh, for example, is going to be at the Hall of Fame enshrinement this weekend. He's going to Canton. I think he's taking his linebackers coach and former teammate of Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, with him. But just thinking about those teams, those Niners teams, like what connects you to them? What connected you to them? Because to me, it was this identity that in many ways was set by someone like Patrick Willis. When I think of Hall of Famers, I think of players that are synonymous and faces of franchise, are leaders and represent the identity of teams. Patrick Willis represented the identity of toughness, this smash mouth, hard-nosed football that the 49ers used to get to 2 NFC championships and, of course, the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but that was a supremely small window that they, I thought, got just about everything out of that they could, except for, of course, the chip.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll say this, Evan, when you ask what connected you to that team, You know, I think of the late Oakland Raiders in the 70s. You know, they use intimidation. It's one of their tactics. But it was that natural, we got talent to go on, to go with intimidation. That's what that Niner defense was on both sides of the ball to me. So when you ask me what connected me to that Niner team or what made him successful, and I agree with you, Harbaugh is – I hated to see him go. Okay, that's a whole nother story. I think he's going to win where he's at with the Chargers. But at the end of the day, it was just – they were intimidating. That whole defensive unit that I talked about, Dante Hittner, a.k.a. Dante Whitner, Evan, they were powerful, man. And I felt like when you played the 49ers on both sides of the ball, even with Gore and the guys and Kaepernick, they had swag, but they also had that natural intimidation. I don't know if you ever met somebody that's naturally tough, and then you got the ones that want to be tough when they get some Henny or something in them, and it's like, dude, no, nobody wants to be around you. But then you have those men and women that carry themselves professionally, but it's that natural essence of an you don't want to mess with Evan. You know what I mean? And there's something to that. And that's what that Niner team watching that game last night, and they didn't win that game, Evan, but it was a 15-round Frazier Ali. And I'm like, damn, the Niners have two iterations of dominant football that didn't culminate, not yet with Kyle, into a chip.
Well, and they're doing it different ways. Like, I think the Shanahan teams have evolved from kind of this defensive-first group into now more of an offensive-driven team. But those Harbaugh teams were always built on their defense. They were always built on being able to win at the line of scrimmage. And Patrick Willis is kind of representative of it. Navarro Bowman might have been, you know, the second-best linebacker at the time and was second on the Man. Niners himself. But, you know, like, what connected me to that team was a guy like Justin Smith. Because I always felt like he was somebody that didn't necessarily get the shine. He didn't get what, you know, all the accolades were going, all the sacks were going to Alden Smith, all the tackles were going to Patrick Willis, all the interceptions were going to the back end. But this was a guy that just embodied the grit of those groups. And so that was a player that connected me to those teams. And I'm just curious, like, what connects fans to their teams? Is it's not always the best player. In fact, I feel like hardly it's just the best player. Like, you know, we love the Currys, but the reason why someone like Klay Thompson not being around hurts is because you feel connected to him. Everyone knows that Curry's the best.
Yeah.
But they feel connected to Klay. They feel connected to Dre. Maybe they felt connected to Andrew Bogut or, you know, a player like that. And so I just wonder who connects fans to the Niners, both in 2012 through 14, you know, kind of the Harbaugh era, 2011 to 2013, I should say. But like, what connects you to them? What makes you feel something when you watch them play?
I love this, Evan. And my father, Norman, told me, son, you can never judge feelings. If somebody's telling you how they feel, that's how they feel. It's not up to you to judge that. You sit back and hear it. And Evan, hearing you talk, I'm going to give you this answer and you tell me if it's valid. Harbaugh connected me to that Niner team. And our coach is off limits. I think coaches go a long way in people having confidence in the coach to get the said players ready and have an identity and attitude. And I thought that's where the Niners, you talk about the Cowboy, Alden Smith, Cap, Bolden, all that swag I felt like came from the head coach. So to me, you know, my number one is Harbaugh, and I hated that he left, and I know he was his own worst enemy. You can't do what you did with your bosses. But, Evan, you tell me if that's fair. Think about it. All the great teams, a lot of time, Phil Jackson, wherever he went, because you felt like he was the dad in the room or the psychologist, and he had something that a lot of Popovich. So Harbaugh, to me, and that's why I was so sad that he left, because he couldn't finish the job. I felt like that was the connection to me to – That was the stamp that this Niner team is Billy Badass on the field, but they got the leader off the field that sets the tone. I don't know if you find that valid or invalid, me going at a, you know, putting it on a coach.
No, I think so. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Versteiny with Goo. You know, what connects you to a team? Is it an individual? Is it the coach? Is it just the way that they play? I do think there are certain individuals that symbolize the style of play, and Patrick Willis was one of those guys.
Man.
You know, when you think about Hall of Famers, again, I think the criteria for me is somebody that you think about and you say, oh, that's Patrick Willis, 49er, defense, dominant. That's the first three things that pop up top of mind. and they all have to be aligned, and they all have to be without hesitation. And that's what Patrick Willis, I think, also brought every single Sunday. He brought an essence of non-hesitation, because that dude, he was one of the first linebackers that I saw. I'm sure there were ones before him, mm-hmm. and there certainly have been them at the linebackers after him. He was the first guy I saw that could run a 4.5 and could get you in space, got sideline to sideline, but was still as strong as an ox. Like, he was fast, but he was also a guy that you could not run over. He was, you know, he tackled like Ray Lewis, but he ran like a free safety. And there just weren't players like that at that time. Now it feels like a lot of linebackers, just because the game is more pass heavy, you have to be fast in order to be a middle linebacker. You have to run a 4.5. But I also think that what he represented, he wasn't a guy that really chirped a lot. He wasn't a guy that talked. He let his play speak for what he did and who he was. And that's where I think I draw a lot of comparisons. I think people do too. I hear it a lot, him to Fred Warner. Mm. Like, Fred Warner to me is also very much a leader. And Patrick Willis was the ultimate leader of those defenses.
Man, I love it, Evan. And he also had 135 solo tackles. You talk about just his, he wore Ray Lewis's number. You know what I mean? 52 and 135 solo tackles in 2007. But you got me to thinking, and Evan, there's no loser in this. If I asked you Warner and Greenlaw or the Bowman and Willis, which way would you go?
Willis and Bowman.
Yeah. And there's no shade at Warner. They're bad boys, but that just tells you the Niner fans have been spoiled when you talk about that backer position. Like, those are two sets of four studs in that right there.
And that's no slight.
Not at all.
That's no slight.
Right. I mean, what's going to the Hall? He'll be inducted tomorrow.
Yeah, Navarro Bowman was a first team all pro. You know, that was a guy that once Willis had to prematurely step away, he stepped right in and picked right up where he left off. You know, not to say that Dre Greenlaw couldn't do that, but
he's a bad boy too.
He is, and that dude hits hard. This is from the 707, the Xfinity Mobile text line. Juszczyk is a man who embodies the Niners, and even just a good football player in general. Humble, tough, talented, and makes sacrifices. Well, I think the position, you need to make sacrifices to be a fullback. For the 510, saying Patrick Willis actually ran a 4.4. I mean, that's even more impressive, you know, but again, that combination of speed and power was rare, at least from what I can remember about linebackers. Middle linebackers at that time were more built and kind of towards the end of, you know, in the 2010s, still built to stop the run first, but Patrick Willis could do it all. You know, you could put him on a tight end, you could get him downhill, and he would just absolutely blow you up. And there was also something about how natural and easy the game felt for him, that just watching him, it was, you know, you see the muscles, you see the speed, you see the tenacity.
He had it all, man.
But it didn't ever look like it was difficult for him. He just always was around the ball, and he made the game of football, which is not, look easy.
Yeah, and again, I keep talking about passion, tears, or whatnot, and we talk about his career being cut short. But man, Evan, it just...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Speak to his brilliance on the field, that when you look, you know, he didn't have a 12-year career. When you look at the log, he got the most of every game he played, and I'm sure we'll see passion out there tomorrow when he, you know, gives his speech. But I just can't get past the version of the Niner defense now, which is dominant, and that version that got oh so close. And it's like, you know, everybody plays, we hear the athletes say everybody plays to win a championship. Dan Marino didn't get one. Charles Barkley didn't get one. But Evan, that doesn't stop, you know, the football world to step back and know who's balling out. And Patrick Willis, unfortunately, doesn't have a ring, but he'll get a different type of ring when when he's inducted into a fraternity that's second to none. When you talk about Hall of Fame, Evan, there's no higher honor.
No, there's not. Look, he's going in with a lot of talented players. You know, Julius Peppers, Andre Johnson. Like, there's a lot of talent East. Going into the Hall of Fame. But I think also what I'm excited about, just sticking with Patrick Willis for a moment, is the fact that we get to hear him. And that was, we've heard him now more that he stepped away from the game, and he's been on these airwaves. He's a fantastic interview. But I think because he was such a soft-spoken, humble type of person, you know, out of Tennessee, came via Ole Miss. I said he's from the state of Tennessee, yeah. But went through Ole Miss, you know, as a guy that I just always felt like spoke with his play. And, you know, even like the visual of him playing with the cast on, you know, playing with a broken hand, but still just like clubbing guys left and right. And then not being the rah-rah dude that you expect at the podium. You know, he is very presidential. And I love those players because there's something about the game of football that I respect more than any, where guys are able to turn the switch off. You know, when they're on the field, they're monsters, they're dogs, they're animals, just the way that they're able to hit and heat seek specifically at that position. But the moment that they get off the field or the moment that the whistle blows and the 60 minutes are up, they just go back to being themselves. And Patrick Willis is a great guy. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're seeing players, you know, fly and take time off from their own schedule, going to Canton, Ohio to celebrate the greatness of this man and what he gave to this organization in San Francisco.
Yeah, Evan, well said. And that's the best part of it. When you talk about the effect and the relationships and the people that we haven't heard from, even Patrick for that matter, you know, coming to town to support, you know, something so great that he'll celebrate. But I want to hear about his journey. And I don't know how many minutes they have now, you know, coming out of Brewston, Tennessee. And you mentioned Ole Miss is where he played. But all I know is he was a silent assassin. That's what I look at. And Fred Warner, you brought up Fred Warner. He has some of that. But I see Fred being more demonstrative now, Evan, even after tackles. But I was watching that game again last night, the 2014 NFC Championship. And when Willis would make a tackle or just stuffed a run and pop a running back, mm-hmm. he just got up and went back to the huddle. It wasn't that. But it still was menacing, Evan. He didn't have to do all that. I'm pointing at you. But you just knew that's a dude, and he ain't playing.
No, but when they do talk, you do hear that level of confidence. It's not an arrogance. It's yeah. just an understood, I don't know, self-confidence that just oozes. It emanates from all of these players that perform at that kind of level. And that's where I do think Fred Warner separates himself. And I think it's the reason why, you know, just for example, yesterday we talked about the top 100 list. Fred Warner's the highest ranked player on the 49ers. And I think it's a combination of his level of play as well as, look, he's just the best at what he does. You know, Patrick Willis, from the moment he stepped onto the field, he was first team All-Pro, led the league in tackles his rookie season. Mm-hmm. He was the best at what he did from the moment he took the field. While Fred Warner wasn't that immediately, he's now grew quickly, I should say, and has been at that level for a long time as the best middle linebacker, best off-ball linebacker in football.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm looking for. When I hear them talk, Evan, you know, these guys put it all, you know, their life on the line, per se, their health every Sunday. And he did that for multiple years, and he was great at his job. We've talked about it. But I do wonder, not being able to say I'm a Super Bowl champion, how that, not impact, or mm-hmm. it could be, like, how much does he think about that? Or is he somewhere where, you know, I'm content. I was blessed, and even to get in, because, Evan, I'm going to be honest, I didn't think he had the duration. I didn't think he had enough years to where maybe they bypass him. So this has to be awesome for him and his family. But I do wonder, guys, and I mentioned the Marinos and the Patrick Willises that had their, Marino didn't have his career cut short, but the fact that they were so close to that ring and didn't get it, I wonder, is that something they just compartmentalize and move on? Or, Evan, do they think about it a lot, you know, when they watch football on Sunday? Or are they further from the game than we actually think? And, you know, you hear former athletes say once they're done, Evan, you know, they're not, they don't have the remote in the hand. It's not 24/7 like fans. They kind of get away from it. So I'm curious to see if that will, you know, rear its head. But just how much of not, of getting close and not getting it done consumes them.
It probably holds a little place in where they are, but I also think just, I mean, with how they're accomplished. I mean, right now you take a look at the 2024 class of Hall of Famers, and you know, there's no quarterbacks. So there might not be as much limelight on this one because you're not seeing in recent memory, you know, like a Peyton Manning go in, or I think, you know, a Drew Brees who's coming up. So, but like Dwight Freeney is a Super Bowl champ.
Bad boy.
But I think he and Steve McMichael, of course, with the 85 Bears, are the only Super Bowl champs that are going in. You know, Julius Peppers did not win a Super Bowl, though he played in one.
Carolina.
Patrick Willis obviously played in a Super Bowl, did not win. I don't think Andre Johnson ever got to a Super Bowl, but he did not win one.
Beat somebody's ass on the field. You remember that?
Yeah. Cortland Finnegan.
Dude, you were, Evan, he put hands on that dude,
yeah,
man.
That was a bit aggressive.
Yeah, a bit aggressive. I love that.
Speaking of aggression, who was the guy that Patrick Willis just like decapitated on the Jets? I think it was a tight end over the middle. Oh, I forget the name of the player, but he just absolutely rocked
him.
Now
you got me wanting to look it up.
No, man. I don't even know
Brad
if you can make
Smith,
that.
I think was his name.
Brad Smith?
Look it up.
Yeah,
I have the highlight somewhere. I'm telling Ken where it is.
All right. Good job this morning, Lubby.
But I don't even, you can't even make that hit anymore.
What? There you go. You can't even, you're
off
the game.
You can't make that hit anymore,
yeah,
man. It's just like, oh, and speaking of, here's my favorite hit of, okay, of Patrick Willis's career, because it actually came in college against LSU.
And fits it all. By Patrick Willis with some attitude.
Wow, they described him, Coach O described Patrick Willis as the best player on the team. He's played with a cast on the last couple of weeks. He got it off last week, and look at this. This is form tackling at its best. Take some of that. Tell you what, we're going to stand in here and fight toe-to-toe. That is classic. How you wrap them up, drive your legs, and if you can get under them, you get your pad level low and under them, lift him up and give him another little taster.
I mean, that was just a WWE pile driver.
You're going to be doing that one day, Evan, and you got that in your repertoire. But, dude, there's nothing like a hit and then the announcers feel it and start talking. That was beautiful. Hey, I want to run this by you. Golden Harvest on the YouTube chat. I hadn't heard this. Maybe he'll touch on it tomorrow if, in fact, true. Willis already said he regretted retiring early. I don't know. I hadn't heard that, but I could understand it. But, you know, I appreciated what Willis did when he said, I've set a standard for myself, my name, my family, my team, and if I feel like I can't be to that level, I got to go. And that's what I respected so much about him. But I hadn't heard, you know, maybe down the road, year or two later, feet are better or whatnot. So maybe he'll talk about that. I don't know. But I hadn't heard that.
I also respect the player in football stepping away and prioritizing their health.
Damn,
you know, I mean, there is, you know, look, you're putting your health in jeopardy every time you step out on a football field. But to take as many licks as he did and to deal with the type of injuries that he had to deal with, it just would have been such an uphill climb that I respect him in a way for recognizing that. Look, it was time. You know, if he wants to live the life that he can, health, you know, with as much health as he has left, It demanded doing what he did. And again, he's a Hall of Famer. It wasn't like he hadn't accomplished anything. And I also wonder, you know, where the 49ers were at that time when he was forced to kind of step down and step away. He had already helped elevate them to a place that, look, frankly, not a lot of teams get to. And so he'd seen just about as close as you can football nirvana. Man. The only step left was to get to the Super Bowl. And I think because of a combination of things, you know, Baltimore is one of them. The Seattle Seahawks, you could say, are another.
The Giants, your boy.
The New York Giants.
Dropping the ball.
Yeah, punt returns. You know,
sorry.
Football happens, man.
Football happens.
And that is the tough part, I think, about being a defensive player. You obviously had an impact on the game. Patrick Willis did more than most. But at the end of the day, you know, it's what we talked about a lot yesterday. A lot of times it comes down to quarterback play. And in some situations, the Niners didn't have as good of a quarterback as the other team. And in some situations, maybe not as good of a head coach.
I know we're up against it, but Evan, I don't want to sound selfish. You and Kay and Lubman, let me know. But the goal is obviously to win a championship. But the goal is also, as a young kid, to be the best you can be. Evan, if I gave you a choice, Hall of Famer, no Super Bowl, Super Bowl, no Hall of Famer. Because before you answer, Evan, I think I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want that chip, but if I didn't get it and I know that I was honored and I was in a class and a fraternity because I was the top tier, one of the best to ever do it, I think that would make me sleep better at night.
Well, yeah, I'd rather be Allen Iverson than James Jones, you know.
Or Robert Horry.
Well, Robert Horry was, you know, a big factor in seven titles. It's a little bit different. But
I'd rather be Iverson than Horry, is I guess what I'm saying. And no shade at Robert, but
well, Iverson shot a lot.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you know what I mean, Evan? Like,
I do.
He left it all on the line. It's just
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.